Well, thanks for joining us for another Tribe Supper. Plenty to talk about, of course, after Borough grabbing a late draw against Ipswich Town to set up what must be a mouth-watering playoff semi-final against Aston Villa. I think you're officially obliged to use those terms when talking about a playoff semi-final. I'm joined today by Chris Garbutt, a big fan of Borough, home and away, and Anthony Vickers, who'll be well known to everybody, and myself, Philip Tallentire. And the first question we're going to talk about, the first issue, I suppose, is Vic, they did leave it late against Ipswich. Is that the fact that they managed to find a way, and they have been finding a way lately, are we taking positives out of that, or was it a bad time to have a... It wasn't a bad performance necessarily, but it wasn't the best, was it? They were slow out the traps once again.
Well, yeah, but I thought it was a great game. I mean, they showed character to come behind from behind twice. They hit the bar. They had one cleared off the line. They had one ruled out for offside. And apart from the first 20 minutes, I thought they totally dominated the game. It was a good end-to-end game. Pushing forward, chasing the game. They left some space at the back, which Ipswich exploited. Yeah, clumsy penalty. In terms of what it could have been as an end-of-season performance, Borough could quite easily have tossed that off, made eight changes, and turned out a match that had no bearing whatsoever to either the season gone or the games to come. So for me, it was important to turn out a strong side, keep the momentum going, show some spirit, some will to win, and get a positive result, and they did all those things. So for me, it was a good day's work.
Chris, I think what probably overshadowed it for a lot of people, I know it did for me, was how poor they were in the first 15 minutes. I take on board everything Vic's just said, and I think for the final two thirds of the match, Borough were obviously unlucky not to score a few more than they did, and really got undone just by slack defending, didn't they? But the first 15 minutes, that again, the issue about not starting matches on the front foot, do you think they were caught out by Ipswich, who should have had one foot on the beach? Because I thought they were impressive, given there was nothing at stake for them. You know, Borough kind of let them, whether they were allowed to or not, they gained the ascendancy, didn't they?
Yeah, I mean, having secured the playoff spot the previous week against Millwall, the intensity maybe wasn't there from the start. Had it, you know, if it had to have been there from the start, it might have been a different story. But I think it was a similar sort of feeling in the end. It was a very jovial sort of party atmosphere, and you know, in and around Ipswich, in the town centre, and certainly in the stadium. And maybe Borough just sort of started the game a little bit sleepily, you know. I think that, you know, maybe I think it took them 15-20 minutes to wake up when they realised that they had to, because I thought Ipswich were at it straight from the off. I was actually very impressed with Ipswich, you know. I thought they played really well. I thought the from 20 minutes in to the end of the game, I thought they defended really well. Yeah. Borough had a lot of chances, they threw bodies on the line in front of them, and they didn't have to, did they? You know, it meant nothing to them. So I was quite impressed with the application and attitude. Maybe not the quality from them at times, but certainly the application. It made it difficult for Borough.
Yeah, I forget they were challenging up at the top end of the table for a while, weren't they?
Yeah,
and I thought Waghorn was excellent.
Yeah. You know, there was certainly no way that you could accuse them of being, but you know, being switched off and on the beach and ready for the holidays. Thought it was a good game. I enjoyed the afternoon. I think it was important for Borough not to lose the game. You know, we're going to Saturday now on the back of no defeat in four, three of them, which is wins. So it keeps us chugging along, and yeah, I mean, it was a good weekend all round.
Vic, it purely went unchanged in the end, which was we weren't quite sure whether he would do that or whether he would. You know, he did say before the match he was going to take it seriously as a contest. He owed the fans who travelled a long journey a performance. Do you think he'll go unchanged again? I mean, Bamford again just put his name out there, didn't he, with that late goal? And it's, you know, it's all about being in the right place at the right time, and he certainly was. And you're so barring injuries, how do you think Pulis will approach Saturday in terms of team selection?
I think the Bamford stroke Brick is the only real dilemma. Obviously, Bamford had been the first choice in the weeks running up to that until he got his injury. Britt's come in, worked hard, got a goal. Looks like he's slotted into the mentality that's needed. So, and he will feel that he's done enough in recent weeks to earn the shirt. But Bamford has been the first choice. And as you said, he came in it buzzed around, got a goal. It's a nice dilemma to have, to be honest. The rest of the team, I think, pretty much picks itself. I think the only issue is if anyone picks up a knock in training, but I can't imagine the training would be too intense. For me, that's the only question mark.
I mean, we were talking about it earlier, Chris, weren't we? It's about getting some sort of lead to take to Villa Park, isn't it? You know, and in that respect, Tony Pulis, he just set his teams out to be tight at the back, of course he does, but he knows he needs to score against Villa, doesn't he, to get that advantage, to have something to defend when he goes down there.
Yeah, I mean, touching on the Bamford thing, just, you know, again, I said on various Trout Supper podcasts over the last sort of 4 or 5 weeks, I'm glad they're both firing. We need them both firing. It's healthy, and, you know, if one of them was to get a knock, you know, for argument's sake, if it was going to be Bamford and Britt hadn't played any football over the last 4 or 5 weeks, and all of a sudden did get a knock or got injured, then you've got a ring rusty Britt Somalonga who, you know, hasn't played much football and won't be able to fit straight in. So I'm glad that they're both vying for that shirt. I think they both deserve the shirt. It's just that great opportunity now, that problem that Pulis has got, that he's going to have to make a decision. But like Vic said, other than that, the team picks itself. Personally, I think for me, I would probably play Bamford at home. I think Villa will come and sit a little deeper than they will at Villa Park, and I think his movement in and around the box might cause him a few problems when they are sort of sat quite deep. So yeah, an interesting one. But you know, we said just 5 minutes ago in the office before we started this, it'd be great to get a comfortable lead to take there, wouldn't it? You really don't want to be going there after a 0-0 or a 1-0 loss, you know, knowing that you have to win or maybe win handsomely to get through. So very, very important that we start well on Saturday, and try and get a lead that we can take to Birmingham next week. Hopefully hang on to.
And who's the pressure on? George Boateng said this week that he thinks that if Villa don't go up this time, they could have some serious problems in terms of keeping players, losing good players, trying to replace the players they've got. Obviously, they've been down a couple of years. Burra, he says, shouldn't panic if they don't go up this time around. Tony Pulis has just been in charge 6 months. He's a good manager. He'll get them up next time. How do you see it? Yeah, because sometimes in the Championship, you've got to take opportunity when it knocks, don't you?
Of course, yeah. You don't get to pick and choose when you go up. I think the pressure is, in the home game, I think the pressure is on Villa, because Borough score goals. It's 14 games now since Borough failed to score. So I think Villa's task is to stop Borough and to stop Adama Traore. And in some ways that's good, because it means that they might have to change the way they normally play slightly.
Do you think they'll come for a draw?
Yeah, I think they'll come and try and stop Borough scoring, because that's going to be key. If Borough get, even if it's 1-0, and we know that 1-0 is a perfectly acceptable result to Tony Pulis, that puts all the pressure on Villa at home, having to claw something back with their own crowd potentially on their backs. So I think the first leg, I think it's going to be very, very cagey, but I think Borough will score, and that could be key. If they get the first goal, we know that changes the dynamics of the match completely, and they are well versed in defending a 1-0 win.
One of the big issues, Chris, this week has been the, we'll come back to the match itself in a minute, but it's been the allocation for both clubs, 2,000. I mean, I know you've got your ticket, but and you've been to a lot of away games this season, you'd have been none too happy if you hadn't got one, wouldn't you?
Yeah, I know a lot of my friends, a lot of Borough fans that I see week in, week out on the road have missed out. It's unfortunate, you know. There'll be the same conversations will be going on in and around Villa Park. That, you know, they'll have fans that have missed out. It's not a big allocation either way. I don't know the ins and outs and the reasons why, but we chatted about it briefly here. And what do you think it is? Why is it so small? I mean,
you can only think. There's been no formal confirmation that I've seen for the reason why they've both agreed 2,000. The argument that a lot of people are coming up with is it's the kind of the minimum requirement, and both clubs want as many of their own supporters in the stadium as possible, which I get. My counter argument to that is football's about big occasions. It's about rewarding fans for their loyalty through the season, and I think when you get a big, whether it's a cup tie, whether it's Liverpool going to Kiev and they're only allowed, what is it, 16,000-18,000 mm. tickets, whether it's Borough going to Eindhoven and only getting 8,000, I think big occasions are for fans. Mm. And for me, fans should, okay, there's going to be some sort of limit and people are always going to miss out. But it seems to me that 2,000 is really not trying too hard.
It is in the regulations, I think. I think it's 2,000 or 10%, mm. whichever is the smaller.
The park's a big stadium, though, isn't it?
And the point, I think the point a lot of fans have made is that both clubs, both Borough and Villa, have had larger away followings in their stadium this season. Mm-hmm. So it suggests that it's not as if they can use the argument that, well, our capacity for away fans mm-hmm. has always been 2,000.
Yeah. I think there's probably a lot of little things in there that suit various parties. For instance, I think the home club will probably be confident they could sell more tickets than they normally would. Mm-hmm. So that would, you know, the obvious place to take those tickets from, the extra tickets, mm-hmm. is going to be from what would be the normal away allocation. There's also a question of segregation. We touched on this, that Villa are going to have 1,000 seats as part of their segregation zone, and normally they might only have 250. The police might prefer a smaller allocation as a routine thing, because league fixtures are predictable. They have the fixture list in advance. They can plan police leave. They can plan security operations. The playoffs get dropped on them at the last minute, so they might put pressure on the authorities. I mean, they wouldn't. It could quite easily be Millwall versus Cardiff, for instance, and you wouldn't necessarily want 4,000 away fans in those games.
And I think if that was the case, you'd understand it if there was a historical.
Yeah, but because of all these things, yeah. and the fact that you get very short, very small time to actually turn the logistics around of these games, that's what the regulations are there for. I mean, whether you agree with them or not, I think that's where the pressure comes from the authorities. It probably suits all the clubs, really. The clubs aren't going to kick up a fuss because it's going to be sold out pretty much, yeah. whoever they play.
I would be interested to know where it was led from, that allocation number, because maybe more so Aston Villa. You know, if they were to come here and get a poor result, say for instance, and Borough were to take a lead there, then they certainly don't want 3,000-5,000 raucous Borough fans in the end. Whereas, you know, Borough, I can imagine it being Aston Villa's more so their prerogative, that, you know, second leg, we need it full of Villa. We don't want a big Borough following there. And maybe just Borough have returned that favour and said, well, you know, that's all we're going to give you two.
I don't think we'd be having this conversation if they'd said 3,000 each, would we? It just, there's kind of,
yeah.
It's the idea that it's slightly less than normal rather than the norm, or slightly more than the norm.
Yeah.
I mean, I take Vic's point about it's a quick turnaround, it's a high octane fixture. And obviously the game's live on TV as well. One thing's been discussed, we've obviously talked about it a lot in the office, particularly interesting your view on it, Chris, is the old talk of some sort of loyalty reward structure that a lot of clubs have, mm-hmm. in terms of making sure that, you know, if you trailed down to Millwall in December, and if you were at Villa Park in September, whenever it was, and you did the difficult games, Cardiff was a relatively smaller away attendance for understandable reasons. If you'd missed out with somebody who'd never been in an away game this season, you'd be pretty peeved, wouldn't you?
Yes.
If you were a season ticket holder as well, particularly.
There is, generally throughout the season, like you mentioned, these games here, Borough do sell out quite often on the road, but, you know, it generally goes on for a week or two, and everybody who wants an away ticket can generally get one, can't they?
Yeah.
It's only when these games come around when the demand is high from you know, every Tom, Dick and Harry, every man and his dog wants to go, that's when these conversations start to arise, when, you know, about loyalty systems. I mean, I think it's great that the interest is in there. You know, I'm glad the whole town's getting involved. I'm glad it's going to be full on Saturday. I'm glad that there's people who maybe aren't every week in, week out like some people are interested in wanting to go, because at the end of the day, that's what we want. You know, we want the whole town behind the club. The only thing that does, you know, that I don't like, and it does leave a little bit of a sour taste, is that, you know, I have friends and know people that have done literally 15, 16, 17 away games this season that can't go, and you can you know, you can bet your bottom dollar that, but there will be some Borough fans in that away that will manage to have laid the hand on an away ticket who won't have been away all season.
I mean, I understand your argument against it, Vic, is that it creates kind of a cartel of away fans and nobody else can get into that.
Is
it beyond the weight of a club to say, because they've got the information on computers now, haven't they? They say we're putting the tickets on sale on Tuesday. For 24 hours, those tickets will only be available to fans who bought tickets for Cardiff away or Cardiff and Brentford away, for example. And at least that opens it up to some fans who've been...
Which what Villa have done, isn't it? The
problem I have with it is I think it's so open to abuse because people then buy tickets.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is people wouldn't know for a match like that. You'd say literally you wouldn't let people know that the fixture they were going to say... You think, right, what's probably, you know, if Borough were at Cardiff on a Tuesday night like they were a couple of seasons ago,
you'll get people who say, well, I've been a fan 40 years, why am I penalised because I'm working the next day and I can't get to Cardiff midweek?
Yeah.
The problem is, if you have a loyalty system and you say to people, how are you going to work it? They will always come up with a system that suits themselves. That's the problem with it.
Yeah, of course, yeah.
And, I don't understand, for instance,
you're
why
people who go to a lot of games against people who don't go to any games. That's surely fairer than have an open ballot.
Well, no, because the priority for as far as the club are concerned is season ticket holders. So that means that when you sell a season ticket and you're saying to people, one of the benefits of buying the season ticket is you have priority for matches of high demand. Now, some people might not like to go to every away game, but a match might come up that piques their attention. And they think, right, well, I fancy that. Why should they be told that they don't have a chance of getting it? Because other more frequent travellers have locked those tickets out. That would make it very difficult for the club to market the season tickets if one of the main benefits is undermined by a loyalty system that's rewarding a small group of people who have the facilities, the money or whatever, to clock up the points. And the problem with this is that they're always open to abuse because, as has happened at Manchester and Liverpool, people buy tickets for matches they've got no intention of going to get the points and then sell them on to somebody else. So you get a self-selecting hardcore of people who monopolise the tickets. Now, I don't understand why the club did away with the Pride card system, which was kind of halfway out. You're saying I'm a season ticket holder and here I'm buying into a priority... intermediate priority thing, because that way people who might say, well, I only want to go to maybe three or four away games a year, can register their interest and have a slight edge.
Do you think,
but why should they be locked out because they can only make three or four games a year?
Do you think the problem is that too much is loaded on the value of a season ticket, which at the end of the day, if you buy in advance, which a lot of fans do, and not fair play to them for doing so, they get good discounts against the guy who walks up and pays cash over the counter when he feels like it. Isn't that your reward for being a season ticket holder? And then, as you say, Vic, some sort of loyalty, membership, pride, whatever you want to call it, card, where you might pay a few pounds up front at the start of a season, but its advantages include, you know, a priority booking for away games, for example, or something like that. So it's, you're meeting people halfway.
I tell you what, we were chatting about it in Ipswich on Saturday, actually, with a couple of people who said, you know, they were worried that they weren't going to get tickets for the away leg, so on and so forth. And one guy that we were chatting to made a good point. He said, you know, the away season tickets that they currently have on offer, I think there's 250 available, isn't there?
Small.
You've got to pay for that up front. You've got to pay for that up front. So that's, what, be 600 quid, won't it? Why don't they?
On top of your season ticket.
Yeah. So that's an initial outlay at the beginning of a season of around £1,000, which is a lot. So for them people who do like to go away every single week, you know, I said that there's maybe about 150 to 200 who don't miss an away game ever. I'd say that's around that number. So why don't they, at the beginning of the season, people have the season cards for the home games, that's fine. If they were to offer, say, 500 to 750 away season tickets, which you can pay in installments throughout the season, so it makes it easier to pay for, but you're still giving that commitment of over the season I will pay the £600 odd. So I don't think that you would get an interest of 700 people who would do that. So what you're then saying is, right, everybody who knows that they're going to go to every single away game and they don't want to miss away games, they want to take it for every game, they're going to get one, and then you close that off. then people are sorted.
Yeah.
And then you just let the people who don't, who at the beginning of the season, if they don't go for that, they don't take up that option, they then are holding their hands up and saying, I'm not going to go to every away game. So then people are, they shouldn't be given priority. You know, the people who do want that commitment, they've got the priority to get the ticket.
I mean, you're never going to have a perfect system. I think we'd all agree with that.
It's complicated, yeah. But I mean, but seems a fair...
I think one of the problems that underlying it is that there's no drive from clubs to facilitate away fans because there's nothing in it.
They don't make any money off it.
Now, a far-sighted club that saw that as a PR thing would do that. And a far-sighted club maybe would subsidise travel to the really bad midweek away games. But most clubs aren't far-sighted. Most clubs are driven by the profit motive, mm-hmm. and there's nothing in it for them.
I mean, this is
other than it helps the team.
I mean, it does.
Yeah.
The big change.
They don't see that as being a massive thing they can influence. For instance, you know, a club that cared about its fans and was doing a good PR exercise would come to a reciprocal pricing arrangement. Mm. And Borough refused point blank to do that with Ipswich.
Ipswich Town, yeah.
I mean, that could have helped 1,500 Borough fans. I mean, it might only be a tenner, but it's the gesture that's there. And also, it shows that the clubs are cooperating and they do see that there is a problem with away travel.
I mean, this is a relatively recent thing in many ways because A, in the 70s, not many people had season tickets, so you had the old coupon system, and B, you didn't have the internet. So the democracy was, if you could be bothered to get up early on a Tuesday morning in the middle of December for an FA Cup ticket or whatever it is, League Cup semi-final ticket, the chances are you'd have got one because you got out of bed and the bloke round the corner or the woman round the corner didn't. And that's a difference as well, isn't it? Because that's kind of, there was a democracy about that. Well, fair play to him. He queued up for 4 hours to get his ticket. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I didn't. I can't really. You know, remember the queue snaking around the Essen Park, don't you? Those of us
Well, for the ZDS one.
Yeah. I mean, it's great.
I used to enjoy doing that.
There's quite a community feel about it, isn't there? About queuing for tickets.
Yeah.
I mean, the great thing is we sat here talking about a nice problem in some respects. Mm-hmm. We're talking about big crowds for big games at the end of a season, and for a lot of the season, I think we'd all agree that was looking very unlikely. I mean, we've sat around this table and various tables like it all season. More often than not, the conversation's been around how disappointing the season's panned out, how poor the squad's looking, not how poor it is, but how it's looking. Should Gary Monk go? Should he be replaced? That kind of question. So, you know, if the season ended with the playoff semi-finals, has that given you something, Chris, as a fan, that you didn't expect maybe 3 months ago? Is it the bare minimum that you expected?
At the beginning of the season, it was the very least. It became quite evident early on that we weren't going to be challenging for the top two. I think that was sort of evident by October, that we weren't going to be strong enough for the top two. It was even at Sheffield, only a month ago at Sheffield United when...
We came away from Sheffield United thinking that
we'd blown it. There's no chance we were going to get in the top six. So it's been topsy-turvy, there's been peaks and troughs like there is in any season, but I certainly haven't thought at any point during this season that we're going to go up this year. So and all of a sudden, you know, over the last sort of 3-4 weeks, it's sort of been sprung on us that we've made it to the top six. And not just that, we're sort of bouncing into them, aren't we? You know, three wins against three of our rivals. So it's the excitement and the adrenaline of the thought of promotion and the thought of a weekend away at Wembley has almost sort of been thrust upon Borough fans from over the last month. And I think that's why it's really took off. I mean, you know, that's all everybody's talking about at the minute is a Borough going up in the town. You know, it's definitely got that sort of vibe about the town now. You know, that's... People are talking about it in the office. You know,
everyone's booked their hotels.
Everyone, aren't they? yeah. So it's exciting.
I mean, it's for fans, it's nerve wracking, isn't it? But for we've been in this quite a while now, Vic, and we've had plenty of seasons that have petered out in November, December, March. You know, when the Borough weren't going up, they weren't going down. If they were in the Premier League, if they were in the Championship, the promotion campaign had fizzled out by March. So tonight, it's nice when you look back. I mean, obviously some of the things that have happened aren't so nice, but you think this season, playoffs, last season, obviously the disappointment of relegation, season before promotion, season before that excitement of the playoffs. Mm. So it feels like it's starting to get back to that time, what we call the Paley years, where for about 25 successive seasons you had either a relegation or promotion to write about going into the last day of the season.
I mean, the first 15 years I covered the club, we didn't know what division we were in next year with two games to go. So you get your money's worth, there's no question about that. There's plenty of ups and downs. This season has been a very, very strange season. It's been two seasons, hasn't it? Badly welded together. And we have to hope that, you know, in the next couple of days, the fractures of that don't tell. The first half of the season, I was deeply, deeply disappointed in the fact it never looked like the club had any momentum. It didn't feel like a promotion season. It didn't feel like a coherent team. Mm. I think there was a lot of disjointed areas, clunky areas, not just on the pitch, but I think there's been problems off the pitch as well this year. When Tony Pulis took over, I think it kind of gave you a second chance, but it took a long time to bed in. It was a real slow burner. Mm. A very different style. It's meant a change of mentality, a change of approach. Quite a big turnover in players as well. If you think about the team that Gary Monk was turning out in October, there's half a dozen of those players either not at the club or out on loan or not featuring.
Just not involved, yeah.
So that there has been quite a radical, although quiet, change about the club, and that's made them far more fit for purpose. If we don't go up now, it might be a case of maybe couple of weeks earlier might have made the difference. They are coming into form at just the right time, I think. There's a coherence about the team. There's a spirit there. They can score goals. To go into the playoffs and go up via the playoffs, I think would be fantastic, if only for a selfish reason that we've never done that. And if you'd have said at the start of the season, you're going to have an awful season, but you'll go up through the playoffs and win at Wembley. Mm. I'd have snatched your hands off.
I mean, end of the day, if Borough are in the Premier League next season, no one will care how they got there. Let's hope Borough make the perfect start of their playoff campaign on Saturday evening against Aston Villa. Vic, Chris, thanks very much for joining us. We'll have you all the news, views and analysis over the next couple of days as we build up to that massive match. And of course, follow us next week when we reflect on that game and look ahead to Villa Park. All the best, everybody. Cheers.